On RN, you're with The Rhythm Divine, where spirituality meets music with Jeff Wood.
The earliest music in America was not preserved by the academies and institutions, but instead by unschooled rural Southerners who sang it not for an audience, but for one another and for God. It once was lost, but now it's found. This is the story of the Sacred Harp.
There are no harps in sacred harp singing. In fact, no instruments at all, just the power of the voice in search of spirit. G'day, I'm Jeff Wood. A few years ago, I was introduced to a little-known tradition of shape note hymn singing that survived in America's Deep South for more than 200 years, sacred harp singing. Shape notes are a simplified way of writing musical notation using four basic symbols: diamond, triangle, oval, and square. And sacred harp singing is one kind of shape note singing. A mixture of folk melodies, revivalist hymns, anthems, and psalm tunes, they're sung out loud in a raw four-part harmony in which each part has its own melody. In the past few years, these unaccompanied Protestant folk hymns have undergone a worldwide revival, and they'll be showcased at this year's Sydney Sacred Music Festival in September. So today we'll meet sacred harp singers from around the world, along with the man whose film, Awake My Soul, helped to put sacred harp singing back onto the musical map.
Hello, I'm Matt Hinton from Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States. Born and raised in Georgia, and when I was 16 or 17 years old, I heard about a sacred harp singing that was happening just north of Atlanta. I was able to hear it before I even entered the building. It was an old Primitive Baptist church, and as soon as I was in the parking lot, I could hear the sound of it, and it sounded like hundreds of people were in there. And yet when I opened the door, it was louder still, of course, but it turned out to be probably no more than 30, maybe 40 people who were in the room. At the time, I was largely interested in rock and roll music and that kind of thing, and played in bands and so forth. And there was something about that sound that appealed to me, and that I saw resonances of between both rock and roll and sacred harp. And so I was very interested in it and was puzzled by why it wasn't better known. I mean, the most obvious thing is that it's very loud, like rock and roll, and there's a simplicity to it. The harmonies are very simple, and the harmonies that it falls back on as sort of default harmonies tend toward the fourths and the fifths are the intervals that it prefers, and it doesn't mind having parallel fifths, which is where you have two parts that are a fifth apart, and then the next note, the next set of notes are again another fifth apart from one another. That's called a parallel fifth. And anybody that knows very much about playing rock and roll music can identify that as a power chord. And so most sort of riff-based rock and roll music finds itself doing the same kinds of things. And so in the modern sort of period, it no longer sounds foreign or peculiar to hear power chords being played on an electric guitar. But it's still strange to hear voices singing those power chords.
Love, Georgia-based filmmaker Matt Hinton, together with his wife Erica, made the first feature documentary about sacred harp singing in 2006. The film, Awake My Soul, The Story of the Sacred Harp, took them 7 years to complete and has been released on DVD. The music takes its name from The Sacred Harp, a tune book of more than 500 hymns published in 1844 and updated continuously ever since. There are dozens of these tune books, but The Sacred Harp has survived as one of the best known examples of shape note singing. And yet, although a deeply spiritual experience based on the Protestant Christian tradition, the singing isn't linked to any particular church or denomination. People of all faiths or no faith are welcome. Which might account for its remarkable resurgence in the past few years, spreading from its American homeland to England and now Australia, where a series of national conventions known as All Day Singing have been held, most recently in July this year. Stephen Levine is a sacred harp singer from Minnesota who's been singing for more than 30 years.
One of the first times I went south, Jasper, Alabama, outside of Birmingham, Alabama, it's a tiny little church, the memorial singing of some people that I'd met, and I was trying to keep a low profile, and I was in the second row, and somebody from the first row then said, I'm sitting back there with that Yankee. But first break, this woman, elderly woman, came up to me all enthused, and she said, wow, you have a beautiful voice. I'm 92 years old, and you have a beautiful voice. And I'm not used to people saying my voice is beautiful. And so I, you know, politely thanked her. But then she went on and said, I can hear you all the way across the church. You have a beautiful voice. The notion of the aesthetic, that hearing you across the church is what makes for beautiful, as opposed to lovely bel canto tones and rounded palate and soft blending voice, which is another sort of beauty, but I don't think I could achieve that if I worked every day of my life. So that notion of a different aesthetic, it suited me temperamentally, and I think it suited me in terms of this voice I have that I did nothing to create. So what can you say?
I can't decipher why it took such a hold on me initially when I heard the music, but I had this instant vision of me singing this with my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. You know, it was something that's timeless that people have been singing for hundreds of years. It requires nothing more than a book and some light. You know, it's not high-tech. It's low tech. Maybe it's something to do with the harmonies and the intervals. They're quite eerie and jarring at times. There's something, I definitely think there's something that's reflective of life. Those subsections of emotion in life that we can't explain very well. So it's very emotive music. There's a huge community element involved in it. I have a family of friends now around the world that I didn't know existed 2 years ago. There's fellowship, there's community, there's so many things. But I think essentially it's just that quality of those old, old songs.
Irish-born Emma Craddock is a member of the Sydney Shape Note Singers, who hold a regular monthly singing with the Sacred Harp Tune Book. The very first Australian Shape Note group was formed in Melbourne in 2001 by Natalie Sims and Sean Whelan.
Sacred Harp singing is a form of community choral singing. We're singing in four parts, so we sit around an open square shape all facing in towards each other, and we're singing from a book called The Sacred Harp. That's where the name comes from, and it refers not to a musical instrument but to the human voice, that is the sacred harp. So we're singing songs that are old hymns set to a particular style of music and a certain style of arrangement that developed in the United States in the 1770s. But we're getting together and singing as a community just for the participation and the fun of it. That's what sacred harp singing is to me.
Yeah. A lot of the words for the hymns that are in the sacred harp come from the traditional hymn writers like Isaac Watts and Wesley, and the words were taken by the American hymn writers and given new tunes. Some of the tunes that we sing are still sung in churches, including churches in Australia today, so they're in the New Australian Hymn Book. But there are other songs which just use phrases and words that people wrote at the time, which are church words. And the words are a little bit different to what we would normally sing in churches today. A lot of the songs are very focused on death and dying and going to heaven, which not many mainstream churches talk about now. And that's because people didn't live as long then, and they dealt with death within their families, and they dealt with death in a very different way to how we do now. So it was important to sing about those things then. And we've kind of lost that. So it's nice. I think there's something good about singing about death and removing the stigma of not talking about death about this music as well. And I know that for some of the singers who sing it, that's one of the things they really like about sacred harp, is it doesn't shy away from things that we don't normally talk about.
Well, hi, I'm Sean Whelan, and I've been singing sacred harp music since the time when Natalie and I lived in the United States in around about 1999-2000. Fell in love with the very raw, rich sound of it, and came back to Australia and found I just couldn't live without it.
My name's Natalie Sims, and I've always sung since I was a kid with my family and through church. And when we came across sacred harp singing, it was unlike any other singing that I'd done, in that it seemed to give me more energy than it took, which is why I love it so much and why I still do it.
So Natalie and I are the founders of the Melbourne Sacred Harp Singers. We started the group just to sing monthly with friends, which is what sacred harp singing is all about, getting together with people, enjoying each other's company and the sound of the music. We never perform, it's not a performance choir, but we started the group so that we could have the same kind of community singing experience in Australia that we'd had in the States.
Hello, my name is Emer Craddock, a sacred harp singer from the west coast of Ireland, a place called Galway. I found this music in Cork in the south of Ireland and fell instantly in love with it. I found it at a community hall in the city in Cork. I was looking for somewhere to sing, but not essentially a choir type sing. I wanted a community sing, and I found this, knew nothing about the tradition, walked into the room. People were already singing. I was knocked over by this huge, huge sound, this wall of sound that I was instantly knocked over and bowled over by, and I fell instantly and irrevocably in love with it. I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense. I didn't know what people were saying when they were singing the shapes. The sounds were sometimes discordant, but it was beautiful. It was raw and it was beautiful, and I loved it from the word go. So I sang it for the last year and a half, year in Ireland, and then I moved to Sydney in December 2011, not knowing if there was any sacred harp in Sydney. Was put in contact with some Melbourne singers who put me in contact with a man called James Daly, who, the month I arrived, started to sing in Sydney.
Hi, my name is James Daly. The style of singing is shape note singing, and the book that the music comes from is called The Sacred Harp. So you'll often find groups that are called The Sacred Harp Singers or The Shape Note Singers. They're just, one denotes the style and one is the book where the music comes from.
It's very different from a normal choir in that we are participants as opposed to performers. So it's more of a community event, and
meeting than it is a performance. We sit on four sides of a hollow square and we project our sound inwards at whoever is leading at that point in time. We are creating an enclosed space of sound as opposed to projecting out at an audience. It's egalitarian in that there are no leaders. Anyone can pick a song, anyone can jump up in the middle and lead that song. There's no hierarchy. There's no fuss or heavy emphasis on quality of voice or musical experience or training. All you would need to sing this music is a desire to sing and a love of singing. You may think you have no voice at all, which would exclude you from a normal choir. And we have only got one rule, and that's to sing loudly.
The book The Sacred Harp is a compilation of shape note songs, and it gets updated fairly regularly. So there's songs in it that have been written more recently, and there are other shape note books that are also published, and that people who sing sacred harp will often sing those songs as well, because it's the same style, they just happen not to be in the sacred harp book. So certainly the group in Sydney call themselves shape note singers rather than sacred harp, so that you get an understanding of the broadness of the tradition. It's not just about one book, it's about lots of songs. So sing it together with me if you can't.
You're with the Rhythm Divine on RN, and we're at a national convention known as an all-day singing in Sydney, exploring the American folk hymn tradition known as sacred harp singing. It's a form of shape note singing, simplified musical notation using four basic shapes to mark the scale, as Natalie Sims explains.
Shape notes are a way of writing musical notation. So it looks the same as normal music, except instead of all the notes being round, they're four different shapes, which are circles, triangles, squares, and little diamonds. And those shapes tell you where you are in the scale. It's kind of, if you think about the sound of music, where you'd be singing do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. With shape note, it's very similar, but there's not seven different shapes because that's hard to print. There's four different shapes, so it's fa, sol, la, mi, fa. And that's the names of the shapes and the way you can find your way around the stave, even if you haven't read music before. Initially, it was designed as a way of teaching music to people who had forgotten how to read music. The history of shape note music is that travelling preachers and travelling songwriters would go from small village to small village, usually within a fairly close area, and teach them how to sing. Some of them would also preach, but some of them would just teach people how to sing, and then they would sell their books of music notation. And there's similar traditions in the UK as well, but the shape note tradition is one that arose particularly in the US, so it's an American tradition.
The harmonies of sacred harp music are quite distinctive, and that's what attracts most of us to be singing it. I'm not a top-rate musicologist, but some of the things that characterise these harmonies for those who know about these things are that there's a lot of open fifths, there are a lot of fourths, and there are a lot of open sort of 1-5-8 chords. So big, open, gutsy sounds. There are also a number of seconds, particularly as melodies cross each other or come close to each other. There are various ways in which sacred harp music breaks the so-called rules of harmony that were developed in the classical period. And in fact, sacred harp music was pushed out of the centres of main centres of population in the northeastern United States by the arrival of sort of so-called proper church music, proper classical music, which is what most of us today would think of as proper church music. But actually this earlier, and not indigenous I guess, but early American form of singing was preserved in very small, isolated rural communities who loved the raw, gutsy sound of it. And a century or so later, the rest of us have rediscovered that. And that those raw, gutsy harmonies is what most people come for.
Thank you.
one of the songs I led today was Evening Shade, and it follows on very well what Natalie was saying about the darker side. You know, the day is past and gone, the evening shades appear, so may we all remember well the night of death is near. It's the first verse. Second verse, we lay... what is the second verse?
We lay our garments down upon our beds to rest.
So death will soon disrobe us all of what we here possess. And it's that reminder of mortality. There isn't a joyful, happy, triumphalist ending in that song. It's just death will disrobe us all of what we here possess. And that's one of the things that I like, is the gritty reminder of mortality, which we mostly shy away from in 21st century Australia.
Speaking at Australia's first all-day singing in 2012, we heard Sean Whelan and Natalie Sims, founders of the group now known as Sacred Harp Melbourne. A tradition of Protestant folk hymn singing that survived in America's Deep South for more than 200 years. And nothing happy-clappy about these sacred songs, often austere hymns with themes of death and the pain of everyday life. Well, sacred harp singing is experiencing a worldwide revival, partly driven by the success of the soundtrack to the film Cold Mountain in 2003. And the tradition will be showcased at this year's Sydney Sacred Music Festival on Sunday the 13th of September with a workshop and a singing. And be prepared to take part. Sacred harp singing isn't a spectator sport. I'll put details on the Rhythm Divine website, along with audio to stream or download. And check out the photos taken at the all-day singing. While you're there, you'll see the unique hollow square formation used by these shape note singers. And explore the wonderful program for this year's Sydney Sacred Music Festival. Everything from Baha'i choral music to Sufi electronica and Sudanese choirs. And for festival updates, you can follow me on Twitter at DJ Radio Divine. I'm Jeff Wood. Thanks for listening. And I'll leave the last word to filmmaker Matt Hinton, whose 2006 documentary Awake My Soul, also screening at the Sydney Sacred Music Festival, helped to kickstart the current shape note revival. And on RN, that's the Rhythm Divine.
In this day and age, when postmodern philosophical ideas are prevalent and sort of a general idea that we shouldn't rely on traditions that have been handed down, but that somehow we're free to create our own reality and sort of create our own narrative, I think probably a lot of people, when they encounter that kind of worldview and try to live it out very long, discover a kind of weightlessness in it, that it's sort of like biting through to nothing in there. So I think a lot of people, a lot of younger people these days, in the absence of traditions that are bigger than themselves, that they've were raised in, like church or something like that, have found themselves seeking out traditions to be associated with, traditions to be a part of, something that's larger and older and bigger than themselves. And I think that throughout our culture, we see people yearning for a sense of authenticity. And I think that that's part of that, this idea that we want to be part of something that's authentic and part of something that's larger than ourselves. And for very many people, I think that sacred harp singing fills that particular gap for them, that they can be a part of something that's been an unbroken tradition for very many years. So I think that's part of the appeal of sacred harp singing for younger, sort of secular folks. That, in addition to the music just being great.